If you don't do boneless, skinless chicken thighs as an alternative to boneless, skinless chicken breasts, you're missing out.
I'm Robin Sessingham, and this is The Zest. Citrus, seafood, Spanish flavor, and Southern charm. We're all about food in Florida. Is it possible to barbecue ribs in just 40 minutes? The answer might surprise you. Coming up, we talk to a barbecue pro to get you ready for summertime grilling. Support for the Zest podcast comes from Seitenbacher brand natural foods like muesli cereals, oils, oatmeal, energy bars, gluten-free fruit gummies for the kids, organic coffee, and more. Available in supermarkets, health food stores, or online at Seitenbacher.com. Avera Wynn spent 30 years as an urban planner, a good job that paid for his barbecue habit. This certified barbecue judge now has his own line of seasoning blends that's called Zest Coast. We talked about when to use gas and when to use charcoal. Plus, he gives his number one tip for grilling like a pro. I also asked him where the name Avera comes from.
If you drive up I-95, just north of Fayetteville, near the Bun area, there's a town called Averesboro. And there's large signs there called the Battle of Averesboro. So that's where the penultimate battle was when Sherman's forces were coming down through the Carolinas. And so there were six Avera brothers. Five of them perished in the Civil War. And one of them moved to Raleigh. And
that's your ancestor.
Yep, that's it. So
that's amazing. Well, Avera Wynn, thanks for being here.
Glad to be here.
So you spent 3 decades as an urban planner.
Correct.
That's what you went to graduate school. That's what you did in the public sector.
Correct.
For 30 years.
Correct.
And then what? Your passion for barbecue just took over and you just couldn't ignore it anymore?
That's right.
You have how many things to grill on at your house? Oh. How many apparatuses do you have to grill on?
Well, currently we probably have about 9.
Three. That's a lot.
It is a lot, but they all have a unique purpose. I have all different types of cookers. I have a Komodo cooker, a Big Green Egg. I have a gas grill, kettle grill, Weber kettle. I have 2 pellet grills, and then I have some portable grills as well. I have like a little Smoky Joe Weber kettle, something that you can take to the beach or to a tailgate. And I have a small portable gas grill as well. The other grill that I have that I like to do long and slow smokes on is the Weber Smoky Mountain, which is a bullet smoker. And then finally, I have an Ugly Drum smoker, which I built. And I have a video on my website, zestcoast.com, that shows the build on that. And that was really a hobby more than anything, just to build it up. But I saw the trend at the barbecue contest. All the competitors were using these drum smokers. And they're quite elegant in that they're fuel efficient. And you can put a lot of product, a lot of meat, a lot of proteins in the drum. And they'll run all night long. And so every one of the cookers has a purpose.
So you have a YouTube channel as well, right? You
Correct.
Said there's a video on your website, but you've got a whole YouTube channel. So
Correct.
So you're kind of demonstrating these different ways of grilling. You said your ancestors are from North Carolina. You grew
Correct.
Up in North Carolina. Do you think that gives you some barbecue credibility?
Well, it does, I think. So a lot of the barbecue I do true to the Eastern North Carolina style. But really, it's about variety. I mean, in a lot of those old whole hog barbecue joints in Eastern North Carolina, they don't exist anymore just because of the time it takes. And a lot of the ones that are still around are using gas. When you go to the western part, in what they call Lexian style, is more shoulders, and that's That's really more what people cook, you know, in their backyard, because obviously we can't all cook whole hogs in our backyard and then chop it up. So so really what most people call North Carolina style is really a hybrid of the Western part with the shoulders and pulled, and then maybe they use a vinegar-based sauce. But, you know, really growing up as a kid, going to, it seemed like there was a barbecue joint on every corner, and now there's very few left. So the only way to get authentic is to do it yourself.
All right, Avra, gas or charcoal or wood, what do we use?
You know what? I'm not a gas snob. I mean, you know, high and fast, hot and fast, you know, quick can work well. You know, on a weeknight when you come home, maybe all you want to do is crank up the gas grill. And you can get a smoke flavor from that, too. If you put some chips in a foil packet and put it on top of a hot spot on the grill, you can create some smoke. But generally speaking, if you're cooking for less than, you know, 20 minutes, even 30 minutes, you're not going to have much time to impart a smoke flavor. So if you're doing a steak, burgers, sausages, vegetables, you know, all kinds of vegetables. Vegetables are great on the grill. You know, the gas grill is fine. But if I have my druthers and I have the time, charcoal and or wood. And, you know, you really, most people, when they're getting, when they're using charcoal, I mean, you're going to flavor it with some wood chucks or some wood chips and to impart a smoke flavor. And, but, you know, for hot and fast, gas is great.
Okay, so let's give people some tips for some really good barbecue at their house. You know, what do you think are some of the first things people should think about when they go to grill something?
The number one tip is, and you'll hear it from a lot of people, Michelin chefs, will tell you an instant read thermometer. Guys that have been in the business for, you know, 30 years that cooking at, you know, great restaurants will tell you, you know, you've got to use a thermometer. I mean, you'll watch people on these cooking shows, they'll talk about, you know, do your finger against your palm and it feels like this, it's, you know, rare, medium, and well done. Well, I think that's really a poor way to go about it. And so you do want to know what your grill temperature is. So, you know, if you're doing low and slow, you might want your pit to be around 225 to 275, depending upon. And so it all, you know, how long it will take, you know, a two-inch thick steak to cook is really going to depend on how hot your grill is.
Right.
So, you know, that's why you can't say, okay, when I put that on, it's going to take 30 minutes because you know, there's all these other external factors, you know, the ambient temperature, the surrounding the pit temperature itself, and the temperature of the meat when you put it on the grill.
So that's your number one tip, is know the temperature. You know, the funny thing is that you think of grilling as a very casual, people like it because it seems more casual. You know, it's not baking where everything needs to be completely accurate and measured out. Grilling seems backyard barbecuing, but you're saying you want it to be good, you need it to be a little more scientific.
Correct. I mean, well, but then again, you know, also, and it is casual, but I'd much rather see a cook probing a piece of meat with a thermometer than sticking their finger on it, every single one, to see, oh, that feels right.
What about cutting it a little bit?
That's
what I
usually end
up doing.
Yeah, see, that's bad because you're going to lose the juices, right? And so that's another thing, too. You know, you always want to use tongs to move your meats around or your vegetables, for that matter. And
what's your favorite kind of wood chip? Favorite kind of smoke?
Well, we mentioned Eastern North Carolina. They use hickory, of course. And so that's – and you know, it was prevalent there. If I could only use one, but every meat's different, right? But for pork, pulled pork, you know, it would be hickory. You know, for chicken, you know, hickory's fine for chicken, but pecan is very good, which they also have in North Carolina, but also in the whole Gulf Coast area, in the Pensacola area and around there, Mississippi and stuff. But for turkeys, you know, people that have not smoked but maybe one meat, it's been the turkey at Thanksgiving. And the pecan just gives it a really lush color, a light golden brown. And some of the ones, when you're doing a longer smoke, sometimes hickory can get a little acrid. You know, so you don't want to use too much smoke. You know, it's a seasoning, just like you know, the seasoning rubs that you put on the meat before you cook it. So when I'm cooking, you know, a long cook, once it takes an amount of smoke, I'm only interested in the heat from the pit. You know, after I don't know, 3-4 hours, it's not going to absorb any more smoke flavor. So you're really okay to wrap it in foil, throw it in your oven and finish and not spend any more time on the charcoal or the wood, because once it's sort of already got that smoke flavor, that outdoor taste to it, you're fine just cooking it, finishing it off in the oven. And that's the trick. I mean, sometimes I've done overnight cooks. I wake up, oh, no, my charcoal's gone. The pit temperature is dropping. Just wrap it and put it in the oven.
And it won't lose the smoke flavor. No, that is correct. A good tip. What's your favorite? What's your favorite meat to barbecue?
Well, you know, which is your favorite child? You know, you can't do that. But it's going to have to be ribs. I mean, just because the challenge of it. I mean, once you have pork butt down, you have it down. I mean, it's hard to screw up a pork butt, but you can easily screw up ribs. So the and the selection of the meat, and then there's always different techniques to try. I mean, there's really only one way to do a smoked pork butt. That's put it low and slow, and just. You come back and it's done, you let it rest, you pull it. But with ribs, there's always different methods to experiment on. In Eastern North Carolina, and a method that, they do them hot and fast. They take the ribs, they'll take a rack, they'll cut them in half, they'll throw them on a grill, gas grills even, 20 minutes aside. So that's 40 minutes. You know, most barbecue people will tell you, you can't cook a rib in 40 minutes. I actually have a video on my website that has I've got all the different kinds of methods, but I've got a hot and fast method. And the cool thing about hot and fast is you can also do chicken wings alongside it, and then ribs, pork ribs.
So I grill on a gas grill. I'm not organized enough to think 10 hours ahead.
Correct.
I'm going to smoke a brisket. I do, but I love a gas grill, and I take a thin chicken breast, boneless, skinless chicken breast, and I can throw it. I can have dinner in 20 minutes, and it tastes really good with some vegetables, and it's a good dinner. What seasoning? How would you grill a chicken breast, and what seasoning should I be using?
Well, the nice thing about chicken breast is that it's sort of a clean palate, right? The chicken breasts don't have that much flavor on their own, so it's going to take on whatever you put on it. So the cool thing about chicken breasts is that, you can kind of, do you feel like in kind of a Latin flavor mood? You know, you can use, you can mojo seasoning on it, and that type of thing. If you feel more of a barbecue-y type mode, you can put a barbecue rub on it that has, paprika and sugars and different types of secret spices, actually, by the way. Or you could go savory. You can do rosemary, thyme, I don't want to sound like Simon and Garfunkel here, but, parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme, those types of seasonings, gives it just a completely different flavor than if you're using, lemon pepper or mojo or just plain salt and pepper. So, it's what, you can suit your mood with what seasonings you want or what you're doing as sides, right? So you kind of pair it with the sides. If you're going mojo, you do black beans and rice with it. If you're doing savory, you might do a wild rice or a potato with, peas or carrot, that type of thing. So you can really mix it up with the chicken breast. So if you can only have one go-to meat, although we'll have to stop you, chicken thighs. If you don't do boneless, skinless chicken thighs as an alternative to boneless, skinless chicken breasts, you're missing out. At all the barbecue contests, and they actually do bone-in, and really bone-in is the way to cook because it holds up so much of the juices and flavor of the meat, bone-in is really a preferred way to do it on the chicken breast as well, because then you can just slice that chicken breast or pull it. If you cook it right, you can just pull it right off the bones if you want to serve it.
Sounds so good.
But the that would be one of the things I would say. We used to be chicken breast people, but when I start back in about 2010, and I go to these barbecue contests, and I realize they're all doing chicken thighs, and I said that they're trying to win, right? So everybody does it, and all the barbecue people almost exactly the same way. And there's a real art to it in terms of the way they'll pull the skin off and they'll get it crisped up, and they'll actually glue it back to the thigh so that when you bite through it, you get a bite through on the skin. But the chicken thigh would be my recommendation.
What are some of the big trends that you're seeing right now in barbecuing?
Well, the pellet grills are something that...
Describe what that is.
A pellet grill, they're based on the technology of old wood stoves, furnaces in the Northeast and the Northwest. And I think where they took the sawdust from sawmills and pelletized them, and then they would burn furnaces as a fuel source. So it was a way of reusing something that otherwise might be going to waste. And so somebody got the idea to use that as a cooking source. Mm-hmm. Now, you wouldn't want to use heating pellets because they have all kinds of stuff in them, but they have food-grade pellets now. And so you have hopper that has pellets in it, and then it has an auger that takes the pellets and puts them in a firebox, heats it up, creates smoke and heat, and so that's a pellet grill. They're computer controlled, right? So you set the temperature 350, and it pretty much will keep that temperature, fluctuates up and down a little bit as the pellets come in and start burning. But a lot of people like it because you talk about coming home and all you have to do is slip a switch. You wait 10 minutes and you're ready to go.
How much does something like that cost?
Pellet grills probably start at about $350 and go up to $3,000. The average cost is probably in the $800 range.
Hmm. And you have some money invested in all of your grills, don't you?
I do, but they're still cheaper than a boat.
And you don't fish.
And I don't fish. So I have friends with boats.
Right.
And a lot of people I know say they have me for my grilling. So have me as a friend for my grilling. So some people say, and that's kind of when I was a college student in Greenville, we used to we had a grill right outside our apartment complex, and somebody would come out and start the charcoal fire and cook their meat, and then when they pulled their meat off, they would yell, hot fire, and everybody, then the next group would come out and cook that, and so we would use the entire bag of charcoal or however long it took to get it going, so we didn't waste any fuel. Having hot coals just burn to ashes is wasteful. Another big trend is the ugly drum smoker, as I mentioned, and that, particularly on the barbecue circuit because of their efficiency and that type of thing. And mm-hmm. You can get into those less expensively than we mentioned the pellet grills. They're economical to build. You can purchase them, ready made, and that's not a bad way to go. But it's fun to build them, and there's lots of videos out there on YouTube to see how to build them. And another big trend, or a really big trend in barbecue these days, is the steak cook-offs. And there's a Steak Cook-Off Association, the SCA. That is probably the most rapidly growing association and event-type events in barbecuing. And the reason why the competitors like it is it's an in-and-out thing. You show up at 5 o'clock on a Friday. They have a meeting that people go back. They cook their steaks. They go to the judges. They know who won, and they're out of there in 3 hours. And so a lot of the mainstream barbecue contests, they happen on Saturday. And so the cooks are starting their cook later on Fridays. But before that, they start that in the early evening on Friday, they'll do a steak cook-off. And steaks are quick to cook. So it's really cool. There's really probably a big resurgence in steak cooking as a competitive thing. But also, you asked what my favorite thing to cook was. It's long-term, overall, it's pork ribs. However, right now, it's steaks because of the technique, the reverse sear technique. And that's when you cook the steak low until you bring it up to a temperature to then sear it and then serve it.
Seared at the end.
Reverse sear, correct. Okay. So you sear it at the end. The thing about that is that way you get a nice even temperature of the meat in the center, and you can get, and also it's a good way to, if you've got a finicky group, and let's say you're cooking four steaks and everybody likes theirs a little different, in terms of doneness, you can put them on a slow cooker, an indirect source. And then as they get the temperature close to the temperature, about, say, 15 degrees short, you know, 5 to 15, depending of where your person, your eater,
your guest,
your guest. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. When you get too close to the temperature to where your guest would like their steak, you throw it on a hot flame on the gas grill, which they're great for doing that, or on the hot over the coals on your gas grill, and you get it to the perfect temperature. So it's a good way to control the doneness, as opposed to, you know, throwing them on all hot and then pulling them off, and then they're sitting there. And then the final temp to tip on that, on the reverse sear, on any meat for that matter, is the rest period. So you're always going to want to pull your meats about 5 degrees before your target temperature is, and then allow, and while they're resting, which is a critical part of just about any meat, to allow the juices to reabsorb into the meat so that when you cut into them, they don't run out. So you always want to pull your meats about 5 degrees temperature, and you can't really do that with your finger. You need a thermometer to do that.
Right. And then just let it rest, and then it'll come up to temperature as it's resting.
Right, that final 5 degrees.
Excellent. So where can people find you, Avra?
Thanks for asking. ZestCoast.com.
Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening. We're on Facebook and Instagram at The Zest Podcast, and we'd love to hear from you. If you have comments or story ideas, send them to Robin, R-O-B-I-N, at TheZestPodcast.com. I'm Robin Sessingham. Dalia Colon and I produce The Zest with help from Cheyenne Jaglal and Mark Hayes.
Copyright 2020, WUSF Public Media, University of South Florida.